Welcome to The Week Ahead in Russia, RFERL's Monday podcast about significant developments and upcoming events in Moscow and beyond. I'm Steve Gutterman, and my guest this week is Irina Lagunina, Director of Special Projects at RFERL's Russian Service. Irina, thanks very much for joining me again.
Thank you for inviting, Steve.
Okay, well, it's been about a month now since Alexei Navalny returned to Russia from Germany, where he was treated following a nearly fatal nerve agent poisoning that he blames on Russian President Vladimir Putin. Irina, I think the last time you were on this program was the day after he returned and was detained at the airport. Since then, Navalny has been ordered to serve 2 years and 8 months in prison, and there have been 3 days of large protests by Russians in cities across the country, one of them on the day that he received that prison sentence. The protesters calling for the opposition politician's release and decrying Putin and his government. Last week, a top Navalny aide announced that he and his supporters would probably not call any further street protests of that kind until the spring. But yesterday, there was a new kind of protest action. Navalny's allies called on Russians to come out of their homes, and in cities across Russia, that often means out into the courtyard of an apartment building, and shine a cell phone flashlight or another light up into the sky. This was after dark. And it was Valentine's Day, so one option was to make a heart shape out of the light with the message that love instead of hate. Irina, the Russian service was obviously covering this action closely. What's your take on the shift of tactics and how it went?
We still don't know how many people participated. It's really difficult to say with such a format of the protest,
right,
which was actually under the slogan, "Love is stronger than fear." So people were going out. Sometimes they put flashlights in their windows. So how many people participated, we don't know. Initially, when Navalny team actually called for such a protest, it was accepted with a lot of criticism, even from democratic, liberal, free-thinking people, because they thought that such a way of protesting against the brutality of the authorities that we saw in the previous during the previous protests is really a joke. But the more the authorities reacted on this new initiative of coming out with outside with flashlights, mm-hmm. The more positive the opposition thinking, the opposition attitude towards this action turned, because the authorities actually threatened to stop everybody who would go out with a flashlight or with a cell phone light. The several publications that mentioned the exact time of the action, and that was at 8 o'clock in the evening, 8 p.m. all over Russia, mm-hmm. According to the time zones. So several publications were banned by Roskomnadzor, the authority that supervises the internet. So, and then the highlight of all this was the reaction of the vice speaker of Russian State Duma, Russian Parliament, who actually compared this at that time future action to the actions of deserters or traitors during the Second World War in Leningrad, now St. Petersburg. According to him, the traitors actually went out with flashlights and thus attracted the showed the way to German aviation where to bomb, where the city was. None of this actually, none of the archives carry the story of such traitors in Leningrad. So now some of the opposition politicians in Russia are demanding to investigate to investigate the vice speaker for slander.
Right.
And for, misusing the heroism of people of Leningrad during the siege of the Second World War for political purposes. Now, so it turned out that the action was actually probably useful for the opposition because people did get out, not many of them, as we saw on the photos and videos that were posted in social media yesterday. Not many, but I think that the number of people who went out yesterday actually shows the real support of Navalny, which is about 25% of the population. This is now considered to be a good action in terms of networking, in terms of people in their courtyards getting to know who else of their neighbors are thinking alike, who are ready to support the change, who are ready to support maybe not Navalny, but him as a symbol of the opposition right now. So in terms of networking and getting to know each other in your neighborhood, in social media, under the hashtag, that was very useful for opposition, and that's the main theme that I'm reading this morning, the several hours after the action.
Right. It's interesting. You mentioned it's hard to count how many people came out. I saw one. I mean, it really is hard to say. I saw one analyst, I think Vladislav Inozemtsev, who suggested that if a few people in many buildings came out, the number of people protesting might have been around the same number as came out in the previous street protests that were harshly cracked down upon by the authorities. Upwards of 100,000. That's one estimate, I guess. I agree. I saw the initial reaction seemed quite negative, but now it seems like. I guess from one point of view, at least it's something in terms of keeping up some sort of momentum until and they have said there'll be future protests in the spring, whether what form those will take in the summer ahead of the State Duma elections, which have to be held by I think September 19th and are expected to be held then. So it's. Interesting kind of new form of protest, and we'll see what happens going forward. Now, and another thing it did, I guess, is showed people that they can do something if they do feel like either supporting Navalny or registering their opposition or their concerns about the government, they can do so without. A big risk, I guess, of being detained or beaten. There were some indications that would happen, but in general, it did not. It did not happen at these flashlight protests. A month ago, after Navalny arrived, we spoke about the future and what was in store after his arrest at the airport, and as widely predicted, I think. Since then, he's been given this two-year and eight-month prison term on a parole violation charge that he says is absurd. And his appeal of that sentence is scheduled for next Saturday, February 20th. Meanwhile, he's also on trial in a slander case that also ties in with World War II. And he faces other potential prosecution. Irina, what do you think is the goal of all these court cases?
Well, in terms of prosecution, it depends on how it would be played, because according to the article, on slander, if they find him guilty, and I have no doubt that they would find him guilty, It's up to 2 years imprisonment, but in some cases it's even up to 5 years imprisonment if it is about sex, gender, sex assault, and so on and so forth. So that's the maximum. But normal, kind of normal circumstances is 2 years or fine or public work. But I think that the main goal of this court hearings right now are not the sentence to per se to Navalny. It's the propaganda campaign, because you know, before, Navalny has never appeared, with one exception, never appeared on state television. They never mentioned his name. They called him all sorts of words, even Putin himself called him a patient, but never mentioned the name. And all of a sudden, after the first day of the court hearings, Navalny was all over Russian state TV from a very negative perspective, a person who actually allowed himself to slander, to harass a war veteran. And we have to keep in mind that all Putin's propaganda and his kind of national idea, the idea of national unity, somehow circles around the history of the Second World War, which in Russia is called a Great Patriotic War. Mm-hmm. So all his vision of patriotism is concentrated on the great victory of the Soviet Union and Stalin, by the way, for Putin and Stalin in the Second World War. So this is sacred. You cannot say a word about, a negative word about anything that happened during the years of 1941-1945. And all of a sudden, Navalny is saying that the 94 years veteran of the war is a traitor and a lackey. Now the whole propaganda machine of Kremlin is working to create the most negative attitude towards Navalny. So in this sense, this case is just you know, something that's, that is a present for Kremlin, because they can twist it so that they would really make Navalny look like an evil to those who watch and trust television and even internet, because I see that there is a lot of YouTube videos right now are made to portray Navalny as the greatest evil of the Russian people, the person who disrespects the history of the war veteran who gave his blood, I'm quoting, to the people of the Soviet Union in order to liberate them from the Nazis. There is a lot of posts in Facebook, in VKontakte, the Russian social network. So it's really a great propagandistic show that will continue tomorrow. I don't know if tomorrow we will get to see the sentence or not, but I'm sure that tomorrow we will see the new flash of the new wave of propaganda campaign, especially if something happens to this poor old guy who is 94 years old. He didn't know that Navalny actually called, not him personally, but the whole group of people who participated in the video that actually campaigned for constitutional changes that gave Putin possibility to stay in power as long as he wants. So it was not against this particular veteran.
Right.
So he didn't know that Navalny tweeted this tweet. He was told about it by his grandson. He was shown this tweet. During the court, he felt sick, and to show you how staged it was, state TV channels showed a report of the ambulance coming to his house. So it's just you know, fantastic propagandistic opportunity for the Russian media, for the Kremlin media. So if something happens to this poor guy, then Navalny will be really blamed for being cruel, you know, for being unpatriotic, for being just the evil of the West. So it's all very much in the rhetoric of Kremlin right now.
Right, and of course, Navalny's argument is that this veteran, who's 94, as you say, you know, was part of essentially part of a propaganda, you know, ploy to use veterans to sell by the Kremlin, to use veterans to sell the idea of this referendum last June, and there was a vote that ended on July 1st. Not a referendum, but a nationwide vote that changed the Constitution in many ways, the most notable of them, as you mentioned, giving Putin the legal right to run for two more terms as president, 2024 and 2030. So, you know, that's Navalny's argument. And in court, in these extremely lively sessions that they've had, you know, he has, at least in the eyes of his supporters, you know, he's made a fool of the judge and the justice system, and thus the Russian government. But, you know, that aspect is certainly not coming across on state TV. So, you know, it's kind of a big battle there in court. And you know, the other thing you mentioned that's quite interesting is Navalny was essentially ignored by the state media and the state aligned media for years, very rarely mentioned. And now, you know, now that he has kind of returned to Russia and come to the fore, and now he's the subject of a big effort to discredit him, you know, on TV. All right, as you say, we'll see more of this. We'll see more of this developing tomorrow at a scheduled hearing in this case. All right, we're running out of time. We'll have to wrap it up for today. Irina, thanks very much for joining me.
Thank you for inviting, Steve.
All right, thanks. I'll be back next Monday for another edition of The Week Ahead in Russia. Meanwhile, please keep an eye out for my Week in Russia newsletter on Friday. Thanks for listening.